Daniel Colborne.
Caleb Porzio, good day, sir.
Good day to you and yours.
It's an honor and a privilege.
Wow. Couldn't have said it better myself.
And I would not have you say it any better. I prefer to say it best.
And that you have.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
How are you, Caleb?
Oh, man. You know, I'm really well.
That's
I'm chilling here in sunny Florida. It's dark out.
Sunny Florida.
But if it wasn't, there'd be sun. Or I should say, if there's sun, it wouldn't be dark.
Yep. Correlation, causation. That's what I have to say about that.
Yep. Guilty as
so
charged.
So for the new listener, Caleb, you're not from Florida.
I'm not from Florida. Nope.
You're a transient boy.
I quit my job.
You quit your job. You quit your home.
I quit my job. I left my home. And I went down to Florida. And now I'm here. For realsies, though, like, I mean, that's pretty much what happened. I still pay rent at the other place.
Yeah. You're going back.
I'm going back. But I am here, and let me tell you, if you haven't considered, if you live north of Virginia, you...
What are you doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing? Get out of your house and go down somewhere warm.
Escape that polar vortex.
For real. Oh, I live in Buffalo.
It's very cold there.
It's so cold, and there's so much snow.
So much snow.
I did miss a blizzard last week, and everybody had off and was snowed in, and nobody went to work or school.
But you also didn't go to work or school, so whatever.
That's true. So basically, it's the same thing. I did miss it a tiny bit, but to be honest, it is great, honestly.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, you know, I think two episodes ago, you know, back at that old podcast, what was it called?
Back at our old stomping grounds, 20% time.
Ye old 20% time. We're talking about me going on sabbatical after leaving Titan, and that's honestly what it's been, and it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, you've been doing a lot.
Oh my gosh. I haven't had this much fun programming in a very long time.
And the funny thing is, like, I think that you were protecting yourself by not committing to getting very much done. Right?
Yeah.
You were very much like, well, we'll see how it works
out.
Right. It might turn into a sabbatical if I read all the books I said I was going to read or write any code at all. Who knows?
Yep.
But I knew.
Guess how many books I read?
Zero.
0.1 page.
Nice. Yeah. I wouldn't have read any books either. I would have just started coding.
I got a big old stack and I've been programming nonstop. It's between, you know, when I'm not in Disney World... programming, and straight up, like, Disney World's a great place to program. So
wait, inside Disney
World? Inside, they have Wi-Fi. I programmed from the Magic Kingdom the other day for like 4 hours. That, you know, that the helpers blog post, 11 awesome helpers. I got to Disney World and I rode like some ride, I don't even know, like not Fantasmic, PhilharMagic, if anybody knows what that is. Went on it, got off it, was like, you know, I have my laptop, and I sort of had loose intentions of doing this, and Hannah had other things to do, so I went, like, in front of the castle, and there's great Wi-Fi, and I just popped open my laptop, and I started, like, writing out that helper package, and
Wait.
Okay.
So, this is a pretty hot tip blog post.
Yeah, the 11 awesome helper things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all know that you're the hot tip king.
That's very kind of you.
Well, it's kind of Taylor. I'm just reporting.
Right, right. Yeah, you wouldn't say that yourself, right?
I wouldn't, yeah.
Definitely not. The Squire.
I'm a neutral journalist. But if you're the hot tip king.
Oh, boy. I see where this is going.
And you wrote a hot tip blog post from a castle. Does that mean that in Orlando, Florida, is the hot tip castle?
Yes.
You're the hot tip king, and that's the hot tip castle?
Yep.
That's very good.
That's what that means.
Yep. All right, continue, sorry.
So that's it. Well, that's the story. Basically, I just started working there and was like, you know what? I'm just going to bang out this post and just be done with it. And so I did, start to finish, and send out the whole thing, like the email list thing, everything. Like, I had a fast pass for something at like 6 o'clock.
Space Mountain or something.
Oh, yeah. It was Splash Mountain. I had a fast pass for Splash Mountain. I was like, oh, I got to be there in 15 minutes.
Can't send out an email wet. That's like, for sure. Yeah,
I'm going to finish this up. I'm going to publish it. I'm going to tweet it. And I'm going to email it all before I go on Splash Mountain. Then I'm on Splash Mountain. And my wife's like, yeah, I saw your email. Yep. So.
Yeah, getting it done, aren't you?
Getting it done. So there you go. So that was fun.
Caleb Porzio.
D. Cole.
If a listener wanted to receive such emails from you when you created such hot tip content as that, where would they go?
Yeah, it's pretty much an exclusive list at the moment. Yeah, I'm trying to keep it small, so I don't want to. I don't want everybody.
Don't spread the news too far.
Okay, but I'll tell you guys.
Yeah,
I will.
Just you guys.
Yep. So you go to CalebPorzio.com. Okay. You hit enter. Okay. And you pick a blog post, any blog post.
Mm-hmm.
And there you will find an email newsletter sign up form.
And you can just type your own email.
You just right type in it there. In. Yep. You type it right in there. That's it.
That's what it. I got
to do. You don't have to pay anything. Wow. Nothing. I send about one product promotion a week, one to two, where I just promote products that people pay me to promote.
Yeah.
And it's mostly that.
Watches,
it's mostly
razors, internet mattresses.
Yes, exactly. It's mostly watch
kit delivery services.
Yep, totally. Yeah, new like wallet organization like tools.
Yep.
What else?
Battery banks.
Absolutely. Yep. Workout routines. Meditation apps. Definitely.
Oh, you got Caleb's hot meditation app of the week.
Yep.
That's a special corner of the newsletter.
That's right. Quiet your life.
Quiet your mind, quiet your life.
So in for reals, I haven't set out any promotionals ever. So you should go sign up and I'll send you blog posts that I write. So all right.
Yeehaw.
So today's episode, let's just get right to it.
I'm here.
Let's just get right to it after 7.5 minutes?
Yeah, let's get right to getting right to it.
All
right.
So this episode is titled, What's Your Workflow?
What is your workflow?
And it's because I want to know, what is your workflow, Daniel Colborne?
Yeah.
And we're going to talk.
I've been led to believe that you've prepared questions, and I love the ones where you prepare.
I did prepare some questions. I wrote down, you know what? That's kind of an overstatement. I have a bare note with.
Yeah, well, I like to paint you into a corner, Caleb.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a checklist. Let's just call it that. All right. So, D. Cole.
Hit me.
Okay.
What you got?
Mail client.
Gmail. On my phone, Edison.
Okay. So desktop, gmail.com?
Gmail.com.
Whoa. Okay. And then phone, Edison?
Edison.
Hmm. Why not Gmail app on your phone?
Not good.
Wow. I think it's pretty good.
Nope. You have an Android phone.
Yeah, I mean, I had it when I had an iPhone as well.
Not good on iPhone.
Hmm. I'm surprised you don't airmail
or Spark. Tried it, didn't like it. Just switched from Spark to Edison like 2 months ago.
Whoa. Okay. So I've been an inbox by Google guy. Inbox
by
Gmail.
But they 86'd it, right?
Yeah, which is a huge bummer. I loved it. And I resisted for a while, but then I Twittered what email client should I use, and people said Spark. So I've been using Spark, and it's awesome. But they don't have an Android app, so I use the native Gmail app.
Their icon's bad, though.
Yeah, it's like Telegram.
The coloring of the app is bad.
I have Telegram, and then I have Spark.
The actual like window where all of the mail happens, I like, but like the weird kind of like dark blue and gray parts of it, I don't like.
I dig that. I really
Fair
do.
Enough.
Yep.
Fair enough.
I do. But between Zoom, Spark, and Telegram, I think they need to get together and diversify their icons a bit.
It's so bad. Oh, man. There was a while where like every app on my phone was like either like a paper airplane or an envelope or a check mark. And I was like, come on. Let's get it together.
That's awesome.
Or like a pair of headphones or something.
Right. That's really funny. Okay. Great. Mail client. Laptop. What laptop do you use?
I use the 20... 16 or 17 MacBook Pro, 15-inch space gray.
Touch bar?
With touch bar. Yeah.
Touch bar cool?
Don't like it.
Okay. Do you use it?
But you kind of have to sometimes, like for volume and stuff.
Okay. Right.
If I could have gotten a 15-inch without it, I would have, but I couldn't.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a good computer, and I'm glad I have it. It's not mine, so this is an interesting thing. I don't own a laptop anymore. I only have my Titan laptop, and then I have a Windows desktop computer, which is an interesting situation. I never thought I would be in the situation of, like, not owning a Mac.
Yeah.
But my last one was just so old. I, like, gave it to somebody because I wasn't going to use it. I guess we do own, like, a MacBook Air that floats around that Charlotte's computer. But
I like that it floats around, that you didn't mix the metaphor.
Yeah, it's an Air. So that would be what it does.
Right.
What about you?
I'm on the MacBook Pro 2015, I think.
2015?
Yeah, so 13-inch 2015.
Still the chiclet keys?
Yeah, chiclets, no touch bar.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Some brother-in-laws of mine who are looking to get into Laravel, coming from Salesforce world, they want to learn Laravel, and I sent them this thing. I was like, yeah, I'd love to teach you. And but step one, you have to buy a Mac. Like, I've tried to help both of them on PC. No way.
Yep.
I'm like, literally, can't, I was like, it. if you want to take this seriously, buy a Mac.
Go buy a Mac.
And here's how to do it. Go to Craigslist, mm-hmm. search MacBook Pro, find one between 2013 and 2015, 13-inch, and I actually just picked one up for one of them in Orlando. For,
how much you pay?
Oh, get this. Like, so it's a 2015. It's the exact same laptop as mine. Mine's a little souped up, you know, but this is like the stock version, which is pretty good. i5, 8 gigs, RAM, whatever. Okay, guess how much? It's pretty much brand new. Like, it is as close as you get to brand new without being brand new.
Okay, I would say the fair price for that would be $550.
Oh, come on. Daniel, let me tell you how to play the guessing game. You lowball so that I get accurate. The satisfaction. Or, I mean, you highball.
Okay.
So that I get to say no, actually.
Was it $4,000, Caleb?
Absolutely not. Let me tell
how
you.
How much was it,
let
Caleb?
Me blow your mind.
Tell me about your bargain.
$650, which I think is pretty good. To be honest
there you
with
go.
You. I think that's really yeah. good. I paid like $3,000 for mine. So
yeah. Fair enough.
Okay, anyway. Max.
Max.
All right.
Just use them. Why would you use anything else?
Okay. You need to edit an image. What do you use?
What type of image? What type of edits
a
to what
PNG.
Type of image?
You need to draw something on a PNG.
I need to create a PNG from scratch?
No. You're taking a PNG and you're drawing a smiley face on it.
Preview.
Whoa. You can do that?
Yeah.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Great. All right. You need to create...
Sketch. For designing things, I use Sketch.
Okay.
For actually... For just like annotating a image, I use Preview.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Sweet. How about you? Sketch for both?
No, I used to be hardcore into Photoshop, but mm-hmm. honestly, the last time I tried to open it, like trials up and my wife has a subscription.
It's so bad.
And I like entered her email and password and it didn't work. And I was like, nah, screw this. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know what I did. What did I do? I don't know. If I really needed to like do some raster image manipulation, mm-hmm. I would get a hold of Photoshop.
Yeah. No, but, I'm real good at Photoshop.
Yeah.
There was... Ooh, let's talk about Photoshop real quick.
Okay.
How'd you get into Photoshop?
Oh, man. We probably got in around the same age. I was Photoshopping like middle school, high school.
What were you Photoshopping?
I was Photoshopping... I don't know exactly how I got into it, but I remember like I downloaded it and it was between that and GIMP and I knew how to torrent stuff. I had Demonoid. Mm-hmm. So, were you a Demonoid member?
.me, bro.
Dude, Demonoid was legit. I mean...
Demonoid was my entree into the world of private torrent
trackers.
For
real.
Which gets even deeper.
I mean, that's like... That's where I learned... I mean, Demonoid gave me my career and more.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I learned everything I know. by downloading illegal software.
We stole a career.
Stealing software on Demonoid. So I didn't have to use GIMP, which is fortunate. So I used Demonoid. Or sorry, Photoshop. I torrented it. And maybe like Photoshop 6 or 7 or something.
Yeah, 6 or 7. Yeah. That was the time.
Right. Yep. And so I remember like thinking that, oh, I have Photoshop now. You know, people always used it like, oh, I'm going to Photoshop your face. Oh, I'm going to Photoshop. Like, it sounded like something that it turned out not to be.
Right.
And I didn't know how to use it or what to do outside of using it like Paint. So I looked up some YouTube tutorials. And that was actually Photoshop is interesting. And you and I have pretty similar backgrounds, backgrounds.
Our pathways through the internet.
Yes, similar. Very similar. But I distinctly remember witnessing how important it is to watch tutorials about software, like how important it is to watch people do something and do it while they're doing it. You know, like watch a tutorial where somebody like makes, I don't know, where somebody does something and do it with them. And they do crazy things like add, you know, go to filters and then cloud and then add like clouds to everything. And then like
blend mode,
pixelate that. And then, masking and blend.
Like, now I understand the difference between soft light and overlay. Cool.
Totally. Right. So like I learned the extreme value of just looking at a pro and copying them. And then you learn all the shortcut keys and all the little workflow tips and the way it works. And so Photoshop, I think, was the first actual program or thing that I learned really well and learned like, oh, you can know stuff really well and be good at it by watching lots of YouTube videos.
So the way I got into Photoshop was making forum signatures.
Oh, totally. Same thing. The little glossy things where you add the oval that just like comes off the top of it.
Bro.
And the opacity is white, but it's like transparent, like it's a gradient transparent.
Amazing.
And then you add like the diagonal lined dot things for a little bit of texture. Am I right?
Oh yeah, dude.
Is this
like
is this
there
what
were
we're
so
talking
many
about?
Yeah. And like the pixel fonts.
Dude,
there was so much.
Absolutely.
Oh man.
Yes.
Hang on. I am looking for my photo bucket. Did you use Photo Bucket?
No.
Oh, Photo Bucket was the thing, dude.
Yeah, I don't think... The only thing I may have ever used a tiny bit was DeviantArt, and that's it.
Okay, cool. I can't find it right now.
Okay.
Anyway, long story short, I was big into forums when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And, like, not only could you make a signature and an avatar for yourself... to make yourself seem cool, you could also make them for other people, and if you were good at it, sometimes you would get like promoted to like the official forum sig maker.
Oh, nice.
For like this forum, you know, so like whenever anyone cool came on the forum, like it was like this weird nepotism of forums where it was like, because it's like I was into like gaming clans and stuff like that.
Yep.
So like whenever someone joined the clan, it'd be like, all right, and go talk to Daniel because he'll make you your signature, you know, and like it was like a whole thing. So like it was a skill I used to like advance socially inside of these weird internet communities.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah, I mean, Photoshop, that's got to be like the first for a lot of people.
Yeah,
and really
just
like
I'm good at technology.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, oh man, I have a skill now, and
it's great. And you realize the value of it quickly.
Yep, totally. And it's a set of tools. It gives you a set of tools that to the passerbyer seem like weird
magic
and whatever. But I think the beautiful thing is that you were combining things. I don't know. It was just witnessing creativity. You're combining things that aren't meant to do what you're making them do. And you're making really cool stuff, and you can do really amazing things with this kind of limited set of tools.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, so that was some good times. How did we get on that?
Demonoid. Yeah, that's what I used to edit an image.
Oh, right. Yeah. So you now, so I actually later got into graphic design and worked, like, that was my job, like print design and graphic design. And I did Illustrator and InDesign and all that.
You know, in my entire life, I've never gotten good at Illustrator. I've tried like so many times.
I don't think anyone has. Do it.
No, there's people who are really
good. I know. There's, but I feel similarly. I sort of,
I felt like so good at Photoshop.
Same.
You know, like I was so good at it.
Yeah.
And I just have always felt like a monkey with four thumbs operating Illustrator.
And I'm also just, I imagine our experience is almost the exact same. In Illustrator, I didn't want to relearn it all. Like,
yeah, that's
I'm
true.
I'm like, I don't want to go look up tutorials on how to XYZ. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And stuff's just hard.
It is, man.
It's just hard. Like, path manipulation. Like, how do
so
I just
hard.
Combine these two things I made? Just want to combine them.
Combine.
And then you merge, yeah, and it says, these two things can't be merged. Screw
Why
you.
Not? Yeah.
It can be merged.
It could be.
It could be.
You're good at your job.
So then I use Sketch, because a Sketch is way more like user-friendly.
Intuitive.
Yeah. Big time. And I think I had my own license, but when I was with Titan, I used their license. And now that I'm not with Titan, I needed it the other day. And it was like, oh, you don't own it anymore.
Yeah. And, welcome to the free world,
welcome
man.
To the free
Buy
world. And I was
software.
Like, all right, Figma. I'm using Figma.
Nice.
So
how is it?
I used Figma. Figma's good. I've used it before. There are some limit. I had this really interesting experience when I was trying to do something for the sticker contest where I tried as hard as I could and I could not do it in, oh, you know when you, like, if you have text and you want to arc the text? So, like, Photoshop,
yeah,
this,
totally.
Is,
like,
this is,
like, text on a path.
Cake. Text on a path. Yeah, it's cake.
Yeah.
So, what is it? Maybe you, I don't think you can even text on a path in Figma at all. So, I get to Sketch. I go, like, one layer down. Like, now I'm in a desktop app that I paid for. So, like, this will do it, you know? And you can text on path. But you save it as a SVG, maybe. Mm-hmm. What's it called? Expand object. You know how it takes like the thing, like text, and turns it into like a mesh
bunch
of
glyphs,
paths.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's incapable of doing that. Like literally incapable. You know, I went to the ends of the earth with Sketch and couldn't do it. So then I had to drop down to the big Kahuna Illustrator, which was such a bummer, but. That did it. So,
but it worked.
Yeah, but it was like it was so classic. I'm like, Figma, nope, hit a wall. Sketch, nope, another wall. All right, Illustrator, fine. Illustrator can do it.
Yep, Illustrator is the big guns, man.
Yeah,
you gotta bust out the big guns sometimes.
Yeah, if that's true. Yep. But how do you do it? Like, are you allowed to say it right now? Like, if you had to use Illustrator, do you have a cracked version on your computer?
No, I don't even think I could use Illustrator right now if I needed to.
Yeah, I don't know if I can.
I don't think I've opened Illustrator since like 2014 or something. It's been a long time. Since Sketch came out, I have not had a license for Illustrator.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's the right move.
I've never tried to put text on a path, apparently.
Yeah, right. I know. That stupid Laravel sticker contest like button thing.
It got you. I love that sticker. Did I show you my laptop when you were here?
I don't know. I don't think so.
So I cut your sticker in half.
Ooh.
Down
and put it half
down,
on, half off.
Like right down the middle of the ribbon.
Right.
You know there's like a ribbon coming out the bottom?
I do.
So like right down the middle of the ribbon I cut it. And so then I have like on the top of my computer, I have both edges like touching the top. So sweet. I have it kind of like wings around Taylor Otwell's head.
Oh, nice. Right, because they would do that.
Or no, not around Taylor Otwell's head. Around the, what's the little robot? Is it Sentry?
Oh, Botman?
Botman, around the Botman sticker.
Yeah.
So I have like, your logo or your Laravel sticker contest sticker cut in half and created wings for the Botman.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's the next level of you should submit to the sticker contest next year. This year.
I'm pretty sure I did finally eventually. My bike got in there.
Oh yeah.
My bike with all the West Boss stickers on it.
Yeah. That's great. It did. Okay. So that's photo stuff. I think it's worth mentioning that if I need to take a screenshot, I like do some combination.
Command shift.
I pretty much hit all the like modifier keys and then four. What it's is command it? Shift command four. Shift alt or option to copy it to clipboard.
Oh, I don't do that.
You got to do that.
No, it's better now. So when Mojave came out, it changed the way it works.
Okay.
So now when you hit command shift four, and you take a screenshot, first it just pops up in the bottom right corner of your thing, and you can right click it and then do anything with it before it saves to your desktop. Way. Yeah.
That's really cool.
So it gives you all the options. So command shift four is definitely the best thing to do.
Okay.
If you do, what is it? Alt shift, command alt four, command control four, command alt control four.
What are you trying to do?
There's a way.
Just so I don't have to sit here and.
There's a way where it actually brings up like a crosshair on your screen. That it's like a frame that you can move around. Like instead of if you hit command shift four, you only have like one shot to draw that rectangle.
Right. Oh, and if
you mess it up, you have to start over.
Yep. Yeah, totally. But
there's some combination of keys that I can't find right now that brings up like a rectangle that you can drag around.
That's cool.
And then you press enter and it takes the screenshot.
Nice. That's I mean, all of my hot tips ever are command shift alt forward to the clipboard.
Totally. I just
drag, copy it, paste it in Twitter, bam, done.
Gotta love it.
If I need to draw something on it, which is pretty rare, but I command shift five. Yeah.
No way.
Command shift five, and that's it's not default Mac. It's I don't know. It's
what is this?
Some program that I use for screenshot editing.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have it.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm doing it right now, and it's like...
This is the thing that drags around.
Oh.
Maybe I was mistaken.
No, this... Oh, yes, you... I don't know. My computer's going crazy. I think...
I wish I could take a screenshot of me taking a screenshot right now, but I don't think I can.
This is... So I have Sketch, which allows you to draw on stuff, but
yeah.
It appears that these key bindings I have are also the Mac key bindings for what you are referring to. So I think I'm in screenshotception.
Woohoo.
So anyway, that's that. And then GIFs, people ask me from time to time, it's worth mentioning.
This is very good. This is a very good question because this is something that there's not an obvious solution for.
Yeah. But as soon as I started using this, I mean, it's perfect for everything.
What do you use?
What do you use?
I use a couple of different things.
Okay.
So there's LiceCap, which is good.
What is it called?
LiceCap.
Like L-I-C-E?
L-I-C-E-C-A-P.
Like a hat? An infected hat?
Yeah, I believe so. Like it's a baseball cap with lice.
Right.
So yeah, LiceCap is good, and then RecordIt is the other good one.
Okay.
RecordIt sits in your menu bar.
Oh.
And you just click the little icon, and it basically brings up the crosshair. You drag a rectangle, and you press record, and then you just do something in it. There's a keyboard shortcut to stop recording. And then it automatically uploads to their CDN.
Oh, cool.
So if you want to, you can just copy the URL from your menu bar and paste it to someone, which is nice. And it also automatically creates a GIF. So it creates a video and a GIF. So you can copy either one just by appending .gif to the URL.
That's cool.
So
what's that called?
That's a good RecordIt.
Okay.
That's good. There's problems with it, though. Like, it doesn't capture the window Chrome of the Mac. So, like, if you need to see the menu bar.
Okay.
Like, if I was showing you how to change Wi-Fi networks on a Mac.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do that with RecordIt. Because for some reason, it's only things below the menu bar that show up.
Gotcha.
In RecordIt. Whereas LiceCap just captures, like, pixels. Whatever's in there gets captured. but it doesn't have all the auto uploading. What do you use?
Giphy Capture.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah. GIPHY, I think.
Yeah, so that's a website for GIF. That's like a GIF search engine.
Giphy, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Giphy Capture is, I don't know, it suits
are
my
needs.
Are
they affiliated or no?
Really well.
Oh, yeah, they are. Look no at that. Idea.
It does upload your stuff to Giphy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got editing G-I-P-H-Y. And stuff too.
So, yeah, it's pretty sweet. You can like set in and outs, and I like it allows you to set frame rate and resolution, so I always hit low.
I'm going
to
use this.
Typing is always a low frame rate anyway, so
I am downloading this right now.
Cool. So, I use that and it's totally awesome. I can export it to a GIF file. It is kind of annoying when I have to put GIFs on blog posts. I upload them to Imgur, which is annoying, but it sounds like your LiceCap or whatever record it would handle that for me. But
No.
Okay.
It would upload it to record it.
Okay. And you couldn't like embed that because it would disappear at some point?
Oh, no, you could embed that.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm looking for.
Can you not embed the Giphy ones?
Maybe.
You can.
I feel like I would have thought of that. But maybe I embed. I don't know. I have no defense. I should embed Giphy GIFs.
I don't know.
All right. So there's GIFs.
GIFs. Sarah Bind, just wanted a quick shout out. Sarah Bind from Titan has an Alfred command that does all of this for her.
Wow.
It's amazing. She's shared it. I just haven't gotten it figured out, but it's amazing.
She's in that class of people who really like have their tools everything. Together. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Roll your own X, Y, and Z. Like their workflows are just so fine tuned. I'm envious. Like I get excited and I tackle a project and I like really go at it and get everything straightened out. And then I just completely disregard it. Like I use it, but then I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like when it's out of my laser focus, not that I'm laser focused, but when it's out of my field of view, it's just gone and it'll just decay forever.
Totally.
And then I'll never want to open it back up again and like
I am
figure it out.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm very proud of on my Mac.
Oh, this is in my list, I think. Go on.
Is it my shortcut? Oh. My screenshots clear number?
Yes. Tell me.
Yeah. So it's just a stupid thing that I have. It is a, what do you call it? Like a terminal, not a macro, like a terminal alias.
Okay.
Bash it. Well, it's a ZSH alias, technically.
Okay.
But it all it does is it finds screenshots on my desktop and deletes them. And it's on a cron job.
That's great. I installed Mojave and I did a full, like, when I quit Titan, like the day after, I was like, all right, it's time to take control
of my life. Starting over.
Starting over. Clean slate. And I
installed PHP.
My desktop. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I did everything, all the stuff that I needed to do.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do. And I had screenshots, I think a year or over a year old on my desktop. It's just, I pretty much gave up any hope of seeing a clean desktop.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I never see my desktop anyway. You're one of those people who has like a nice, pleasing setup.
Yeah.
Right?
I like to be pleased.
How do you, like your windows aren't full screen, right? Like they're like this kind of pleasant centered.
I do like to pleasantly center a window, yeah.
Do you normally do that? Like in your normal day-to-day work?
Yes.
And how do you do that?
I just put it there.
Like you manually like kind of eyeball center it and then like
once
Alt-Shift resize to get it like what you want?
What do you mean Alt-Shift resize?
So that you're resizing like, you know, like in Photoshop, it's like the same thing with windows, right? So if you do like...
I just grab the corner of the window and I move it until it fits.
Oh, bro. If you hold Alt and Shift.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. No, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Alt Shift and resize, right? Or Option Shift or whatever.
Oh, wow. And it centers?
Yeah, that's it centers nice. And keeps the aspect ratio.
That's nice.
Where Alt just centers if you want to deal, you know, do your own aspect ratio, but
Okay, yeah. So I could be doing that. But yeah, basically, I just put the window where I want it, and then I move it until it looks good, and then I leave it there.
Wow, I'm surprised. Good for you.
Well, you know the Mac, like, remembers where your windows are.
Don't patronize me, Daniel.
Like, if you close the app and open it again, it'll be in the same place.
Yeah, but what happens if you open a new window? Like, if I open a new VS Code project?
Then they tessellate nicely.
All right, so I have my window resized right now. Uh-huh. Oh, shoot. I'm in bear. Okay, I'm not going to try it, but I believe that VS Code has its own default sizing that's not to my wishes.
Oh, maybe. I don't usually have more than one VS Code window open. And if I do, it's only like a temporary thing.
Okay. That's a whole other conversation.
But there's like a place in my life where the VS Code window should go, and it just goes there.
So what about other stuff? Like, it doesn't all stack up? Like, you don't command tab, like, between stuff?
I hate command tab.
Whoa. You command H to hide or something?
No, I just have two big monitors.
Well, so like, what about terminal? All right, you have your terminal, your editor, and your browser at least.
No, I don't. I have VS Code. So that is my terminal, my editor.
Right, okay.
I have a browser.
You have a browser.
And then I...
Mail client, Telegram, Slack.
Nope. Mail happens in the browser. Yeah, so I have Telegram and Slack on my left-hand monitor. And then I also have a browser in my left-hand monitor.
Okay.
So that's what's happening in the left-hand monitor. Spotify is usually minimized. I don't have that open.
Okay. And you re-minimize it every time you use it?
Yeah.
And you hit the minimize button, or do you like do something?
I just click it in the dock and it goes away.
Huh.
Or no, I guess I hit the minimize button. Yeah, no, that's what I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I know I could Command H it, but I just don't.
Command H wouldn't minimize it, though.
It would hide it.
Right. Wow.
But yeah, basically what I want in my life is work has its own monitor. You know, like production of code has a monitor.
Good for you.
And then over on the left-hand monitor is all the other junk that needs to be open, like Slack and Telegram, and iMessage is usually open over there too. And my browser.
Beautiful. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's disciplined.
It's not disciplined. It's like I would lose my mind any other way. Like, I cannot abide having, like, a clutter. I can't work at all. Wow. So it's not disciplined, except that, like, it is enough discipline to do enough work to not get fired. Gotcha. Because if I had it any other way, I would not get anything done.
Hmm.
It's weird. I don't know.
I am currently rocking the 13-inch single monitor life.
So I can do that, too, but it's a completely different experience.
Yeah, yep.
Like, definitely. I full screen every single app, and I just use spaces, and I swipe back and forth. That's all I do.
Oh. Okay. Yep.
Like, I have a browser in one space.
Cool.
An editor in another space, and then another space that usually has, like, Slack and iMessage or something.
Do you VS Code simple full screen mode? Or no. It's called, like, non, or, like, pre-Lion full screen mode or something?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't full screen VS Code.
Okay. When you're on your 15-inch,
uh-huh.
I encourage you to do this.
Oh, on the laptop?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the laptop I do.
Okay. Gotcha. You use that mode, not the normal, like, space thing? Workspace?
I don't remember.
I don't think you
do. It doesn't really matter.
I think it does.
Does it?
Let's just agree to agree.
It only matters if you have a terminal that isn't part of VS Code. But I only use the terminal in VS Code now.
Right. I mean, I just still like the full screen thing. Anyway, whatever.
The only reason I liked it before is that I was still using iTerm back then.
Yeah.
And I would press shift tilde or whatever to make the terminal appear.
Yeah.
And then shift tilde again to make it disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I don't do that, there's no reason to not have it be full screen as far as I can tell.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
I don't think, right?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Hyper. I still use Hyper despite the the terminal in VS Code. I use the terminal all the time in VS Code, mm-hmm. but I occasionally use Hyper when I am not in a project.
Yeah, I use iTerm whenever I'm not in a project. Okay. But I probably open iTerm once a week.
Okay. Lightning round. Tell me every icon in your launch bar thing.
You mean the dock?
The dock, yeah, that's the thing.
Finder, Safari, calendar.
You use Safari?
No.
Okay.
Finder, Safari, calendar, iMessage, okay. System preferences,
okay.
Slack, iTerm, Bear, Pro Tools, news, and then we get to the, like, what's open.
Okay.
Which is VS Code, Chrome, Telegram, QuickTime, Zoom.
Wow. Nice. Cool.
So what you may have noticed is that the only four things I added to my menu bar were Slack, iTerm, Bear, and Pro Tools. Everything else is just the defaults.
Yeah.
And I think Pro Tools added itself because I didn't put it there.
Ah, okay.
So really it's Slack, iTerm, and Bear are the only things that I put there.
Hmm.
And I just didn't remove any of the default things.
Hmm.
Which, now that you mention it, I'm removing Safari.
Good. News.
And the default.
Putting you on the news. Okay.
Man. And Pro Tools can go away. Sweet. This is much nicer, but I'm never going to use it anyway. Do you use your dock?
I do, yeah. I think it hides itself.
Yeah, I just
you know what?
Use it. I might actually just hide it for good. Actually, now that we're mentioning it,
yeah,
I did do that
for a bit. I think I use it.
Oh, no, but I use it to see what's open. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I go back and forth.
I just use Alfred to do everything.
Yep, same.
Matt gets really mad at me when we pair because I use Alfred to command tab between apps. Like,
oh, I totally do the same thing. If I go to Google or like Gmail or Chrome, I command space C. What do I do?
Yeah, command space C. That's what you do.
Yeah, I think that's what I do. And then code is always, yeah, he does this exact same thing with me. Like, he'd be like,
tab.
Yo, command tab. I'm like, yeah, I know, but no.
Yeah, but because I don't know if it's going to be the first thing or the second thing or the
right.
12th
yeah,
thing.
Right, yeah, I can't be
But I know command space C is going to get me there instantly.
Yeah, it's very fast.
I don't know. It's a weird... it's definitely like less Mac-y to do it the way we do it, but I think it's more...
I don't know. I think it's...
It's more programmer-y, I think. Like, it feels more like...
I think it's pretty Mac-y.
I'm, like, executing a command with my keyboard.
Agreed, yep. Yeah.
Instead of, like, I'm doing a shortcut.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Where do you keep notes and lists of stuff?
Bear.
Bear. All Bear?
Bear is very good. All Bear.
Bear is very good. I agree. I use Bear constantly. I also use Wunderlist. So that's a thing.
What lives in Wunderlist? Oh, that's I use things as well. But what do you use Wunderlist for?
So it's mostly ideas. So I have like a no plans to merge list, and these are all my like potential podcast ideas.
Gotcha,
and I have like refactors, like cool refactors I've done that like I just want to put down so that someday I might like do something with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or like 20% time, a giant list of things to talk about. Twitter, a giant list of things to potentially tweet. So anytime, like I have this massive, massive queue of like things. So if I'm like, oh, I think I want to write a blog post, I go to my like blog:personal and I look down and I'm like, is there anything that I thought was a good idea that's still a good idea? Should I do it? So,
Caleb,
yeah.
This is interesting. I do not maintain any long-term lists.
Oh, dude. You gotta do it. You gotta do it.
That aren't to-do lists.
Yeah, I don't use it for a to-do at all, actually.
Do you have a to-do list?
No.
Do you have a task manager?
Sometimes I pretend that I'm like disciplined enough to use Wunderlist's like inbox like to-do feature.
Mm-hmm.
But no. Like right now there's a giant list of to-dos that they're just stale. I just suck at that.
So, okay. So you just... This is very interesting.
Yeah, I just make lists like long-term, like I have workflow pain points, Twitter ideas for SaaS apps.
I think I should start doing this.
Potential pull requests to Laravel.
Yeah, I think I need to start doing this. This is a really good idea.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't do this. This seems like really reasonable and like smart and something I would have already been doing.
Don't but go I and take credit not. For this now, D. Cole.
I'm not. I'm saying I'm amazed.
A joke.
I'm amazed that I have not been maintaining lists.
You got to do it. Yeah. I use Bear a lot, actually, for that sort of thing, but it's because I like writing in it better because I can write lists and paragraphs and stuff.
So I use
Apple Reminders. But I don't go back to them as much. I forget.
I use Apple Reminders as my, like, temp. Like, so if what you're saying is if a tweet comes to you that's not fully formed, you throw it into a list.
Yep.
So what I do is I throw it into an Apple Reminder.
Oh, cool.
With my Siri.
Nice.
So I'm like, hey, Siri, remind me to figure out what I'm going to tweet about this later.
Right. So that's pretty rare for me. Sometimes I do that. But most of the time it's like, I want to put this in the archive of potential
with
tweets
other things
for next
like
time or sometime or never that I'm going
to
like.
The inspiration strikes you. To go through
exactly.
this list and do the
yep.
next thing.
And so I actually just recently started the refactors list.
That's actually
list.
Probably more in keeping with like the way I would like to work than my current thing. Right?
Yeah.
Because the thing about a to-do list is it's like, it assumes that every day I'm like waking up and checking my to-do list and doing the
yes,
things.
Which is not
right?
the case.
Whereas just having a list is like, when the urge strikes me to like be very productive on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I now know what to spend that energy on.
Exactly.
Right? Like when the universe grants me a productive weekend day or an evening, like when the muse visits upon me, I want to be prepared.
Yep. Yeah, I think you and I are probably pretty similar. We're pretty similar in like styles of this kind of thing. But I'm not an organization guy. I don't calendar. I do like for like, I don't know, like I put Laracon on my calendar, but I never look at my calendar. I never schedule anything on a calendar ever.
Wow.
Even with at Titan, like,
how do you remember to do anything?
I just knew all my meetings. Like, I just,
what about like, okay. So like you and your wife agree to a double date.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
How do you know about it?
It's in my head. I'm pretty good at the mental calendar.
Have you ever just forgotten to do something?
I mean, maybe
like has anyone ever like been like, hey, are we still on for this thing? And you're like, oh shoot, that's in 12 minutes and I didn't remember I was doing that.
Maybe, I don't want to say no and sound like some sort of above average person.
Uh-huh.
Cause I'm not, I'm going to say rarely if never. Like,
wow.
At Titan, honestly, I never have any calendar and don't maintain my calendar and got, like, scolded a couple times for not putting in OOO. But...
I don't put in OOO.
I always forget about that.
Yeah.
But I'm just not a calendar person,
Not because I, like, don't think it's valuable, just because it doesn't click in my head
yep.
as something I'm supposed to do.
And, like, putting in your time, you know, whenever, like...
Dude, I get scolded for that every week, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's such a crappy thing because I'm like, oh, you feel like such a bad dog. Like, no, you're
well,
so
bad.
Well,
and it's amazing. It's amazing how many things can notify me that I have to do that and I still
yep.
won't do
right.
it.
Right. I set a notification on Friday.
Until someone
4 p.m.
whose emotions I care about
right.
gets involved.
Yes.
And I won't do it.
Yeah. So
it's crazy.
Yep. And then I want to tell you it'll be the last time, but I know it probably won't. I'm going to try for it to be the last time, but I'm not going to tell you it'll be the last time and then it not be the last time.
Yeah.
But
so I just say thanks.
I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty rare that I don't know. I like we've talked about, like, I generally like my quality of life. Well, one, I just don't stick to things. Like, so
yeah.
I just gave up. Like, I don't stick to any organizational thing at all. So whatever
yeah.
my brain naturally does is what's gonna happen.
Do you have any recurring events?
No.
In your life?
Oh, like yeah,
something that happens every week.
Oh, tons. Yeah, a million things.
Okay. Are those on a calendar?
No.
Okay. So this is why you're not using calendars. I promise you.
Okay.
If you put all of those things on a calendar tomorrow, right?
Okay.
Like all of your recurring events, like
yeah.
what day does the trash come? Like
sure,
you go to
right.
church type of things, right?
Yeah.
And like what day of the week is the time when I hang out with this dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you know, when is rent due? You know, all
yep.
of your recurring life events. Well, I guess your rent's probably automated, but anything that's like not automated that requires action from you and is a recurring event,
yeah,
put on a calendar. And then you never have to think about it again. That's the thing. Is like it's the type of thing that when the muse hits you,
I
can spend an hour and put all of your recurring
like,
events.
The calendar has to be useful to me, and I have to obey it. And I don't do that.
Right, but this is what I'm saying. You don't think of the calendar as something that exists in your life, right? You
think of the calendar. I think I should revise my position. Every so often, like if somebody says, "Yo, we should meet up here at this time," or whatever, I will mm-hmm. put it in Google Calendar, and I imagine something will notify me, and I'll mm-hmm. know. I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. I don't know. So I don't use it, but yeah, go on. I pretty much
so what I'm saying here is every single time someone tells me let's do this thing on this day,
yeah,
the first thing I do is put it in my calendar, because I know for a fact that I have like a window of about 45 seconds to have that thing in my calendar, or else the probability of me being there goes from 90% to 30%.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, if I don't have this in my calendar, immediately, I will very likely not be there. Because I will, like, take a nap, or, like, make other plans, or, you know, do something. Because the only way I know what I'm doing is because my calendar tells me what I'm doing.
Yep, I don't know. I think that's
you might just not be as dumb as I am.
That's possible.
Because, like, I cannot remember anything. Like, my brain is so bad.
Friend of mine, Mitch, who we've talked about, Laravel developer turned baker, who actually just mm-hmm. got a job at a crepe place. He quit the Laravel world to work in a crepe place and become a baker. And so he's a very fascinating story. Yeah, he moved to Michigan and he's working.
Wow.
Making crepes and pizzas because he's super passionate about dough and bread.
About
making.
Flat dough.
Yeah, right. He's super passionate about horizontally.
Flat, wet flour.
Yes. So he's pursuing all sorts of those types of trades.
He works in the flat, wet flour industry.
That's his industry, right. So Mitch, he's the guy who does forget stuff. And so, like, mm-hmm. you know, because it's funny, because I've, like, had talks, you know, I've been like, dude, get a calendar, offload it, then you have a 0% chance of completely messing up. Just don't trust your brain, trust the calendar, you know. But yeah, you know what? Maybe, like, Sunday. We were supposed to record on Sunday, right?
Yep.
We said that.
Yep, but we didn't put it in a calendar.
It wasn't in a calendar, but it was in my head. I was like, oh, yeah, well, Sunday I'm recording. And so every day
yep.
I just knew. Like,
and I was not there.
Sunday I'm recording. And then Sunday came and I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I got to record. And so I messaged Daniel and then nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Nothing happened.
Yep.
You know why? I didn't put
it
in
your calendar. So, okay, maybe I, but again, like, I will mess up on something probably soon. I don't know, whatever. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so. Whatevs, but that's what's happening. But the moral of the story is that for me, the more organization in my life, the more unhappy I am. The more plans, the more calendars that tell me what I have to do, the more I don't enjoy life. So
interesting. I'm similar, actually, right?
I would think
the
that.
More
yeah.
The more obligations in my life,
yeah.
the less happy I am.
Totally.
But assuming the obligations are already there, the less I need to remember about those obligations, the happier I am.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, the raw number of obligations is one problem, right? But then the amount of information about those obligations that has to be recalled by my very, very dumb brain is another problem, right?
Yep.
So to me, it's like I feel like I can't trick myself into thinking that just because I haven't written something down doesn't mean that I'm not still held accountable to it, you know?
Yeah.
So like, the fact that I have all these obligations and they're not written down doesn't make me feel any freer than I have all the same obligations, but now they're just written down. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, that does make sense. Right. Cause that makes perfect sense. Like, you're not any less obligated because it's not written down and it's in your head. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I'm just like less capable of knowing when I'm free.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe writing it down is even, I don't know. Because it is in my head, I constantly have like a mental cue of upcoming things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the lighter that cue is, the happier I am.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe because it's like stored in my head, I'm more aware of like...
I'm potentially more unhappy about it.
I'm potentially more unhappy about it, which is bad, but also good because I can then optimize my life to reduce those unhappinesses, you know?
Interesting.
But obligations is something that I think would be fun to talk about at some point.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. I'm married to somebody who like is attracted to obligations.
Mm.
Like, it's bizarre. Like,
has a hard time saying no, or like enjoys saying yes.
Yeah. Like, just basically has no threshold for too much obligation and will follow through with everything 100% of the time. Like, will never let anyone down or ever miss anything and will commit to many, many things.
The things that makes me feel the worst about myself is how like unaided by technology. Like, if I lived in the 80s, I would disappoint 80% of the people I knew every
You'd
week.
You'd have your,
you know,
paper like, calendar. You'd have your calendar on your desk covered up by
like, I lose
plastic.
Everything, Caleb. Like, there's no way I would keep track of a paper calendar. And like, there would be no redundancy, obviously, because there would be no cloud. So like, if I lost my day planner or whatever, I would just have like
a lot
no
of
idea
people
what I was
sitting
doing
in a coffee shop
month.
Alone.
Yeah. Oh man. And like, then they would like go ask to use the phone and call my house, and I would be like, you know, hanging out with someone else who I just
right.
like ran into on the street, and there would be no way to contact me. Ah, oh, man. The only way that I have any friends is because of the internet helping me remember when I told them I would do something.
That's great. Yeah. This is the area of psychology I'm very... By psychology, that sounds like I've thought about this in any like formal way. This is mm-hmm. like the area of mental life that I'm mm-hmm. really interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah.